First speaker is the great Kahan Kenneth Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Please be seated. It's truly an honor and a blessing to come before together with you on the Sabbath day to proclaim this great message of Yahweh's soon coming kingdom. What I'd like to cover today is entitled Educated Choices Through the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Bring Life. And this is what everything is about. You know, I mean, Yahweh created mankind not as the animals who react by instinct, but he gives us the ability to choose. And that's what everything that is within the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program brings forth basic moral choices. Okay? And just to define the word choice, the word choice is the act of choosing or making a selection, either a decision, by considering one or more options. And what should come to your mind very quickly there is about the STOP acronym. You know, if everyone in the world would just stop and think and consider the options and then go forward and proceed with the right choice, well, then we would have peace, which is what we all desire, what the world is crying out for, but they don't have. Now, in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, the Building Moral Excellence, it's the best way to define it. Our character is developed based upon making positive or negative choices. Our choices have a ripple effect, starting with ourselves, everyone we come in contact with, and the environment we live in. So we see the basics of life there. You know, to bring about this peace, we have to first have it within ourselves. We have to know that it affects others, and of course that it will affect the environment that we live in. And one thing, you know, let's first be turning over to Deuteronomy 12. Page 157, because we want to first cover what we came here for today. You know, Yahweh has called us all to his house to rejoice. And, you know, this morning I was thinking about that word rejoice. And if you think about it in basic terms, like what Pastor has taught us, like the Oki way of thinking about things, to rejoice, you know, that's to have joy in a repetitious way. So let's first go to Deuteronomy 12:12. And you shall rejoice in front of Yahweh. Every time we come before Yahweh, we're commanded to rejoice. You and your wife, wives, your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, and the Levite who lives within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. And you could see right there that rejoicing, you know, that we can get from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is for all people. You know, Yahweh is coveted right there in that one scripture. Go up to verse 5. Where do you learn this? But you are to seek the habitation of your Father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your Father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, or his authority, which we know today, this is the one that he has sent, our great pastor and overseer, the great Kahan Yishol Abel Hawkins. You know, this is what we come to do. We come to learn peace, and it can only be taught by one individual. Yahweh has always used one to bring forth his message at different times. Okay, to establish his name, his authority, and there you must go. So we're commanded to come here to learn it, and then, of course, to actually go forward and teach it to others. Okay, one of the things that came to mind when I was going over this is how important, you know, Pastor said about watching your language. You know, let's turn over to Ecclesiastes there on page 520. Page 520 in the book of Yahweh, in Ecclesiastes 5. And he gave us, you know, a lot more to chew on, a lot more to understand about what it is to keep, you know, when you come to the great house of Yahweh. In verse 1, keep your foot, and of course, like Pastor explained, this is the words, the language in which we use in order to be a righteous example before others. Watch your step when you go to the house of Yahweh and be more ready to listen. I mean, even through the teaching process, you know, teachers learn also. You know, we all teach, learn. It's a process that Yahweh has created. Then to give the sacrifice of foods, for they do not even realize that they do evil. And it's just like what Pastor has taught us. You know, this world is full of confusion right now. They don't even realize, you know, when they're doing evil, this pagan celebration that they even have just come out of and are looking forward to, they don't even realize it, you know, that they're doing evil. They think that they're actually bringing about a joyful situation where, just like what Pastor said, if you looked at the news reports, you know, how many deaths did we have just here in Abilene? You know, how many crimes were committed? You know, and it's like what he said, you know, when everybody comes together and they all, I think he used the word denned up in one place, you know, and I kind of thought about that and I said, well, you know, what goes in a den? And it's wolves. You know, they actually want to eat each other up with this kind of pagan celebration. Okay, so continuing in verse 2, do not be rash, reckless with your mouth. You know, so it covers it right here, just like what he has taught us. You know, you have to have righteous language in order for righteous things to come forward. Do not think of hastily uttering a word before Yahweh. Yahweh is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. And that's where I think that we all can learn a whole lot by just, you know, going and saying yes rather than trying to add. I know this is something that I've been trying to deal with, you know, trying to add this and that to it. You know, if somebody asks you a question, you know, try to make it a yes or no answer. You know, it'll keep yourself a lot firmer and relaying what you're trying to relay rather than trying to make it a situation where it's not even understandable. You know, people have a tendency to try to talk their way out of something rather than just saying, no, I understand, I'm going to do, you know, something a lot better the next time. Okay, drop to verse 4. When you make a vow to Yahweh, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed to pay. And verse 5, it is better that you should not vow in the first place than to vow something and not pay it. You know, so choose your words carefully. What you say you're going to do, you need to do it. I should say we. You know, what we bring forth, you know, in our words, that's what we should do. Okay? Let's go over to Deuteronomy 30, page 173. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, the Great Kohan left off right here. Page 173, Deuteronomy 30, because Yahweh shows us that the law is with us. You know, we actually have the law. You know, it's recorded. It's just finding the place where it's taught, you know, and that's what we need to seek out. And, of course, we're here. Yahweh has called us. You know, he's given one that's been chosen by prophecy to teach us, and we've been called and actually been begotten by this message. And that's something else we're going to cover a little bit later. Okay, in Deuteronomy 30, let's go to verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life. Yahweh brings it forth right there. You know, he doesn't say to do as the people in the world are doing today, you know, and following the gods, but actually choose life, which comes through the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, which is the basic, simple ways in which the laws have been brought forth in these the last days, so that both you and your children may live. Okay? Let's go up to verse 14. The law is very near to you. It's very near to us, you know, because we're actually in this teaching, learning process every day. And it doesn't matter whether you've been here for many years, whether you just come through the door, you know. I mean, it's a process that we go through to learn it. And as we learn it, we understand it and we put it in effect in our lives. Okay? It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Okay, continuing on, see, I've set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction. And that I command you this day, Yahweh is very much to the point here in the way that it was recorded. He commands us to choose life. And I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go in to possess. You know, I brought a couple of articles about what the world is doing today. These were articles that were recent, and just giving you an idea of some of the choices that the world is making today. Now, just think about it too. You know, now they're ignorant in this. They don't have the law of Yahweh. You know, their forefathers did. But as deception came in, you know, and they came down to this particular country, we're going to talk about a news article that took place in the country of Ukraine. You know, it you know, what took place has been a total removal of Yahweh's righteousness. Now, the article is entitled "Ukraine Parliament Fistfight: Giant Brawl Erupts Between Lawmakers." Now, is this the lawmakers for Yahweh? No, not at all. It says two massive brawls erupted in Ukraine's parliament on Wednesday and Thursday as the country's legislative body deliberates to choose a new speaker from the president. And it's too hard to try to say his name here, from the president, Viktor Yanukovych, his ruling party. And I don't want to demeanor, you know, the Ukrainians, you know. I mean, they are very much as the same as people are in the United States. You know, they don't have the laws of Yahweh. So therefore, you know, these things take place. Okay, the majority of parliament members were involved in the fight, but former heavyweight boxing champion, and it's hard to explain, I mean, to pronounce his name, who heads the anti-corruption UDAR party, perhaps wisely, did not get involved in the melee, reported in their newspapers. Now, one of the things in the article that I wanted to make sure that, that I covered here, okay. And now listen to this. Now, this is the way that the world is. According to Ukraine law, parliamentarians cannot be punished for the brawl and police cannot intervene. You know, now that's their law. You know, so what is it that they want? They don't want peace. You know, there's no justice if people cannot be taken out of that situation. But those are the choices of the world. Let's go a little bit further here, because we're going to go over the one that Yahweh has sent in these last days to give us the ability to make the right choices. So to rehearse this scripture, let's go to page 813 in the book of Yahweh, a very familiar scripture here, because it gives us the ability to see that if we're not doing what's required, we're considered to be fools. Okay? Page 813, Luke 24, 25, and 27, a scripture that we've rehearsed quite often here in the great house of Yahweh. And this is Yahshua, of course. Then he said to them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Okay, and in verse 27, and beginning at the books of what, beginning at Moshe, the law, the books of the law, and all of the prophets, he expounded to them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And of course, we've seen this same scripture fulfilled here in the last days by our great pastor and overseer. So let's go ahead and see who it is. Let's go to page 558 in the book of Isaiah. Page 558. So we can see that Yahweh has not left anything undone, you know, for us to make the right choices. Okay, in Isaiah 44, verse 1, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen. You know, pastor has been chosen. He's been named, you know, by Yahweh in the scripture. We have numerous places in which it shows that he is the one that Yahweh has sent in the last days in order to be the leader and the teacher, the seventh Moloch, the one whom Yahweh has chosen to bring forth this great message. Okay, now he's given him authority, so drop down to verse 7. And who is I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, in the form of a question, and the things which are coming and will come, let them, speaking of the two witnesses, Yeshua and Jacob, let them foretell them. So these are all, you know, these are basic scriptures, but whenever you say it and bring it forth in the same way, you know, you can see that Yahweh has chosen pastor. He's given him the authority. And of course, he's the only one that can open the door to salvation. Okay, so let's go over the next page, Isaiah 45, 1. This is what Yahweh says to his anointed, speaking of pastor again, Yeshua, for uprightness, whom I have taken by his right hand to subdue nations before him, yes, the strength of kings I will reveal, to open the doors before him, and the gates will not be shut. So that scripture right there, a lot of scriptures should come to mind. Let's first go to Revelation 3, the book of Revelation, Revelation 3. Okay, Revelation 3 and verse 7, speaking of this last day's work here. And to the Moloch, and of course that word Moloch is messenger, the seventh lamp on the lampstand, of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. And of course, this is speaking of Yahshua, who brought this forth to Yochanan to record it. He who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Okay, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. And this word open is, for your notes, is word number 455. And one of the meanings that it has is to reveal, as to open a seal. So you could see back there in Isaiah that it's only pastor who has been given the permission, the authority, to open this seal, to bring forth this message to the world, because that word door is word number 2374, and it means to preach and publish the message of Yahweh. Okay, so this open door can only be brought forth by one individual, and he is that door. If you think about it, pastor is the door to salvation. And if we decide to turn away from that door, the door closes. And of course, that's the way Yahweh has always been. It's You know, if you look at how people accept the message, if they turn away from it, well, then that opening, that entrance that Yahweh has allowed, you know, it goes closed. It goes shut. Okay? So let's go back to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 26 and verse 20. Isaiah 26 and verse 20. So we can see exactly, you know, where. You know, recently, you know, Pastor, one of the last times that he spoke, he said that, you know, Yahweh is going to stand guard over you. Yahweh will stand guard over you. And you know, one of the things that we need to understand is that we're coming to a point in time to where if we believe without seeing, we qualify in this. You know, Yahweh is going to show us exactly how we're going to make it through this worst part of tribulation. Okay, so in Isaiah 26 and verse 20, come my people, enter the sanctuary, and I will shut your doors around you. I will hide you as it were for a little moment until the indignation is passed over. And, you know, we can see that there's only one protected place. The world doesn't have this. You know, when you believe that there's a place of salvation at every church on every corner can bring forth, within, that's not according to Scriptures. Scriptures show that there's one place, there's one person that's going to bring that forth, and that is, of course, the great house of Yahweh. And if we don't prove it to ourselves, well, then quickly one can actually fall away. And that's what we're trying to make sure through this teaching and learning process, that through the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, you know, we can see the basics of what it is to gain life. And in gaining life, you know, we can go forward and teach others. Okay? So let's go now. This is one of the things that we need to cover here also in Isaiah 41. Turn over a couple of pages over. I'll get you a page number here. Page 555, Isaiah 41, starting in verse 8. I want to show here, because, you know, it's quite easy for people to say that they're the one that can bring forth this message, you know. But you have to be chosen by Yahweh. You have to be named in the Scriptures. And, of course, pastor's calling is one of being chosen through prophecy, okay? The thing that we have been brought in is through the great message that he has brought forth. Okay, so let's go ahead and prove that to ourselves in Isaiah 41, starting at verse 8. But you, Yisrael, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, verse 9, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the farthest parts of it and said to you, you are my servant, and I have chosen you, and I have not cast you away. Okay, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your father. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Okay, so hold your place there. It's Isaiah 41, 8 through 10, showing that Yeshua has been chosen by prophecy. And go to 1 Corinthians, and I didn't write a number down, page number. 1 Corinthians 4, okay, 1 Corinthians 4, on page 889. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, showing here that we are begotten through this message. Okay, Pastor, he's been given his calling through prophecy. He's been chosen by Yahweh through prophecy. And, of course, we have been chosen to an extent through this begotten, being begotten through the message. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 4:15, this is the Apostle Shaul. For although you might have 10,000 teachers in Yeshua, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Yeshua Messiah, I have begotten you through the message. You know, this is how the message has come to all of us. It's through the message. Okay? It's come through having a teacher chosen to bring forth that message so that we have the opportunity for salvation. Okay? Now let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Isaiah 44, verse 22 on page 558. Okay? I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. This is another place where Yahweh shows that he's chosen pastor through prophecy. You know, he's redeemed him. If he was not redeemed, then we could never be called through the message that we just read there in 1 Corinthians. Okay? And like this word return means to restore, and this should be something that should be, I've got it written in my column here, means to restore, to convert others, to return others to me. You know, this is the way in which we can see that Yahweh uses one individual. He's called pastor through prophecy for this job to restore the name of Yahweh, to restore the authority of Yahweh, to be able to convert others. That's how we all came here. And to, of course, to return others to me. You know, Yahweh will always work through one individual. Okay? So past has been redeemed. And, of course, we've been chosen through the message. Okay? Let's turn over to Jeremiah, page 591. Jeremiah 591. Let's see here. Jeremiah 591. This is something that Pastor, you know, he's covered this also. That, you know, in Yahweh's plan, we've been brought up, we've been raised up. You know, it's a plan of breeding. It's a training plan. And if you think about it, you know, it's just like what Pastor said. It's all about breeding, training, breeding, training. This is the way in which a righteous seed comes forward. Okay, in Jeremiah 23, verse 5, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch. And of course, we know that this is talking about pastor. And a king will reign and succeed and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. And of course, this is pastor and Yahshua, you know, Yahshua being the high priest over the house of Yahweh, working together with pastor. Okay, drop down to verse 7. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, speaking of these last days, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Yeshua. This is who we are. The seed of the house of Yahweh. I am Yeshua Hawkins. I am the house of Yahweh. All of these things should be ringing in your mind. Out of the protected place and from all countries where I've driven them, and they will dwell in their own land. So through this process, and let's quickly turn over to Zechariah. Through this process, we see this last day's work, the way it was established by Yahweh, where the high priest over the house of Yahweh, Yeshua Messiah, works together with the branch, okay? On page 719, Zechariah, and we'll close right here. 719, Zechariah 6, verse 11. Take the silver and gold, speaking of the house of Yahweh here in this last days, the seventh era, and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And we know that this is all speaking of this last day's work. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. Now, we've seen enough where Yahweh has talked about, you know, the chosen branch working together here with Yahshua for the house of Yahweh here in the last days. For he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. And brothers and sisters, I can't really emphasize enough the importance of what it is to study. One of the things that I did want to cover, I didn't get, I'll give it to you real quick. Pastor had given us a lesson saying about the 2 billion, the captains and assignments for the duties and everything, to count out that number, 2 million captains of thousands, 20 million captains of hundreds, 40 million captains of fifties, 200 million captains of tens. This is what's going to be required to bring forth this message in the last days. You know, so please, let's stand together in unity. And if you would all please stand, I have the great opportunity and the honor to introduce to you our great Kahan, Stefania Hawkins.
Welcome, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We've got a lineup of prophecy being fulfilled, as usual, in the news. And we're going to start off with the story from CBS News that the weather for the last year has been the warmest on record, which is exactly what the pastor has been saying, and we're given the cause for that is sin. And then we have several shootings, and I think I even missed one. There's so many shootings that with 4 people and 3 people and 2 people that it looked like it's all the same one, but it's not. And then we have a new thing they're doing, which is pushing people in front of trains to kill them. They wait till the train comes, and then they push them in front of the train at the last minute. And so this kind of shows that if you're an advocate of gun control, you're also going to have to control trains. And then you're going to have to control buses. If you do away with the trains, they'll figure out they can push people in front of buses. Well, the problem is we've got to stop the desire to kill people. And then we have the story about Chicago reaching 500 homicides this year. And then we've got another homicide in Abilene, which was just on Christmas. It was just right after Christmas ended, and this probably built up throughout the day on Christmas, as the Kahan was just mentioning. But the if you look at it, the homicide rate in Abilene for the month of December, as outrageous as Chicago's is, and it is, it's much higher than a normal city, the average city. Abilene's for December is actually higher than Chicago, its homicide rate. If you look at the 2 law enforcement involved shootings and deaths, and then this one on December 26th, and there's still a few days left, so they couldn't even increase that. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Israel Hawkins!
Hello, everyone! Look at the. And what a crash! Wonderful! Come on now. You may be seated. Beautiful, beautiful day, and the weather drove everybody inside. No. No, Yahweh called you inside, didn't he? Praise Yahweh. Just like the first speaker here this morning told you, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If everybody here and everybody in the world that hears this today, if you will listen closely and then write these scriptures down, you'll see that Yahweh prophesied all of this in advance, even the school shootings, what's causing the school shootings, what will stop the school shootings. He's told it all in advance, and I'll give this in this sermon. Yahweh willing, we'll get through it today. The world is wondering right now why all the disease epidemics are taking place, why all the wars are taking place, why is all the trouble in the Middle East. A lot more children getting killed there than here, but we may catch up with them. You know, here's Abilene with more homicides than Chicago. It's amazing, a little town like this, and they got a war going on in Chicago, from what I understand. Why all the shootings? Of course, I showed you what Yahweh and Yahshua showed me. Started showing this about 20 years ago, I believe. What was in the atmosphere? What was causing the troubles that we were seeing at that time? We saw trouble brewing in the atmosphere. We saw it affecting the earth. We saw the people, the disease epidemics increasing at that time. And if you remember, I told you this is going to get much worse. Yahweh, I said in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, if this were not going to be the worst ever, they never would have said that. And, of course, only fools are they that do not believe the Holy Scriptures. I told the world what we were doing to our firmament. I think that was 20 years ago. They call me crazy now. They call me a lot of other things. They call me crazy then, and they call me a lot of other things now. But the truth is found in the Holy Scriptures. And of course, I read those to the people, and they laughed and they snickered, and they said, "His name is Buffalo." And I think at that time I was a little ashamed of it, but not anymore. This article now comes out. This is March 31, and they have actually found what I said they would find in the firmament. They haven't done too much about it yet, but they have found it. They've found that this is true, and of course, maybe some of them are still digging into it. I hope they are. It says, these factors, these things, be a factor to the climate's upset? World climates, the altering of world climates, along with fur, algae, pollen, fungi, bacteria, and viruses. So they know the viruses are out there now. They know that it's floating around in the universe. Could that be whopping around in the atmosphere? It may well be, he said. Could it be the causes of our atmosphere being sick? It may well be. He said, global study has found that any fragments or biological material are as a major component of the atmosphere, controlling the weather and forming a previously hidden microbial metropolis in the skies. Besides their climate and influence, they may even be spreading diseases across the globe. And this is wonderful for that they'd be thinking this way. Now, maybe they'll start thinking what actually the firmament is made out of and how these viruses are attacking what the firmament is alive with that helps it do its job, and they'll find what's causing the global warming, the droughts, shrinking of the polar ice caps. But new findings from this institute, it says, atmospheric psychics, they say that the University of Mainz in Germany show that a large fraction of our aerosols in the atmosphere and biological in Oregon, in origin. And they show that they're now trying to run tests, and I haven't heard any more from this, so maybe they will. I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy, because this was what I was reading back then when I saw that Yahweh was warning us about, as he did Adam, when he said, you must guard and keep this. And then he told Adam, if you don't, dying you will die. It will bring death. But then the prophets added to that, and they showed the horrible death that's going to take place. And, of course, the desire. It actually shows the desire in these last days. The desire has grown stronger from the 12 tribes. What we see in the 12 tribes that is shown to us in Genesis 49, their characters. By the way, last week I mentioned that Yahshua's genes, that I could see that they were displayed in Yahshua the same as they were from Yosef. And of course, the apostle, he said, the apostle said that it's obvious that Yahshua sprang from Judah. And I had that in mind, but I was going to explain it later, but someone caught it, and I got to getting phone calls off of it. And if you'll read it again, it says it's obvious. But now, what is not obvious is not shown there. And the genealogists have strived for years over what we see in his records in Matithya and Luke, because they don't match up. Now, I was going to give this and show how I knew that Yosef was actually in Yahshua's bloodline, but then before that, somebody said, you know, this thing was Nora. Said, you put us all to questioning and put us all to studying, and said it was really fun. It was really great, because people really got interested in it, and they started studying, and they started asking questions and gossiping. and they said, I think you should do that again. So, praise Yahweh. So I think I'll give you till Passover, and give the young priest here time to tell me how I know that Yosef's bloodline that we see in Genesis 49 is in Yahshua. It's not obvious, I can tell you that for sure, but it's there. You may as well forget about studying genetics, because that's what the apostle told you too. Don't get all concerned about it, because they knew it was screwed up too. The one thing you'll probably run up against is that they twist the law to make out like that the tribes couldn't marry each other. That's not true. They could marry each other. They did marry into one another's tribes. I'll give you that much on it. And also, one other thing, they did marry some others besides the 12 tribes. If you are familiar with that, I brought it out in many sermons with Ruth and Boaz and the offices they held and how they came down. So there's a lot that's not obvious, but you can find it if you, and don't just forego now the study of the book of Israel and your lessons that you have here daily, but keep it in mind. Keep this in mind, and if you'll get you a spiral notebook and every time you see something, says, hey, that applies to this, and write it down. And maybe in 20 years, You might get it by Passover. I doubt it, but you might. There's a lot that goes behind it. But anyway, here and back on the subject now of the world and what we're in today and how to solve it. The world has no answers, and they're saying that there is no solution to this problem, and all they can think about is arming, putting out more guns, and hoping the good guys will get them and shoot the bad guys, but that's not working, as you can tell from the guns that's out there already. Disarmament, that's impossible. Right now, it's impossible. It won't be in a few months after the peaceful solution, character education, is taught to the world. It won't be impossible. That's what Yahweh offers here and tells the people to teach it diligently to their children. But in Deuteronomy 28, he gives you all the blessings that will take place as he did Adam when he set him over the house of Yahweh and said, guard this and keep it in this way. The same thing he said to Moshe, you must diligently keep all of these laws. That's what he said to Adam. And if you don't do this, you're dying, you will die. Well, we've come slowly downhill from that point. And we get to Genesis 49, and Yahweh said, now here's what's going to be in the last day. And if you study Genesis 49 really, really closely, that'll take you 20 years to get everything that's in that chapter. It will take you at least 20 years study. But you can get a lot from the helps that we have now. We got some really great helps that will help you. But now they, don't forget, they were written by scholars. They were written by scholars who is struggling over who the last day's witness is. So, and they don't know. But they forget that Yahweh is in control, and he says, well, this is sealed, so you can know it. So they forget about that scripture, or they don't believe it. So they keep struggling with their interpretations from man, which don't get them any smarter than man. And what they've got to seek is what comes from Yahweh himself, which comes through his house and the one sent. So if they could get that all in their mind and find the one sent, then they can start to travel down this long path to Yahweh and get the knowledge from Yahweh directly. Praise Yahweh. Well, here now in verse 15, he shows what will take place if you don't follow these instructions given in the first 14 verses here. And he says, however, if you do not obey Yahweh. Now, you think, well, that's talking to those people back there. All the prophecies show that this is talking to us in the last days, like Genesis 49 shows. This is the characteristics you're going to see in the people in the last days. And he plainly says it in verse 1. This is for what you will see in the last days. Now, the people who study the DNAs of mankind, they're going to take a sample, from what I understand, from this boy that did the school shootings in Connecticut. They're going to take a DNA sample and see if they can find the bad gene that caused this. Well, of course, they're on the right track. I mean, this would help because it's a permanent record. If they could read that little bone in the back of your head, it would be much better, because more is shown there than in the DNA. As Yahweh shows, that's a complete pattern of that person. Shows every hair on his head at all times and what time he lost the last hair. Every bit of that is shown, but of course, this is ancient knowledge. So when they read this, they put it aside and say, all of that's done away with. But it's actually talking about what we're going to have in this time period. And lo and behold, we have every one of these plagues right here that is mentioned from here on throughout the rest of the chapter. He says, however, if you do not obey Yahweh, your Father, do not carefully follow His laws, His statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses or plagues, as is said in Revelation 18, where it says, come out of her so you won't suffer these plagues. So there is a way of stopping the plagues. Come out of this system is what he's saying. Come out of this system. This is in Revelation 18 where he tells you, come out of this system that was actually set up by it's called the Nimrod system in chapter 10 of Genesis. The Nimrod system, which meant he rebelled. So come out of this rebellious system and you will start turning this thing around. But the world, the society, they say you can't change society. Well, that's like Yahweh said to Yashub. He said, can you put hooks in this beast's mouth and turn him around? And of course, you know that he's talking about society. Can you turn this thing around, Yashub? I'm the one that has the plan to turn it around. And it's a well-laid plan, as Yochanan 1:1 said. And the plan, when that plan is finished, and it's supposed to be finished with the seventh Moloch, seventh messenger, called the servant of Yahweh in book 1 and throughout the Holy Scriptures, that's the one where Yahweh finishes his work. That we, the house of Yahweh, and he said it's going to be called the house of Yahweh. Now, all you scholars that are struggling over this, look that word up. It's easy found now. It was totally hidden back years ago, back 70 years ago, when I started studying. It was totally hidden then, but now Yahweh has made it possible for His house in these last days to have this information. But all these curses will come upon you and accompany you. They will stay with you, and as you read on, it says, then you will totally be destroyed. Finally, it will totally destroy you, and this is what Yahweh is going to prove to the world. He's going to prove that this way of rebellion from following these rules, each one you break kills you a little bit more. It takes a little bit more of your life away from you. Till we come down to the last days where we see a world of bumbling idiots, intellectual idiots, but nevertheless idiots that can't control their mind. They know not the way to peace, as they say, as the prophets say. They know not the way to peace, so they stagger along in life, and every decision they make fails. Now, that's what's prophesied, and I'll show you that. But that verse 15, now, if you'll look to, with that in mind, I want you to go over to Romans 1, and look at verse 15. Look at verse 28. Romans 1 and verse 28. Romans 1, found on page 874. Remember what we just read now. If you don't keep these laws, if you don't follow these rules, if you don't guard and keep this way, then this is going to come upon you and accompany you. And then add that to Genesis 49, which says and shows you all these characteristics that you see right here is going to be jammed up into a big pile here in every mind, every body in the world in the last days. Romans 1, verse 28. And since they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, they didn't like Deuteronomy 28. They didn't like His laws, statutes, and judgments. Why? Because their minds were filled with lust and unbelief. They couldn't see the plan of Yahweh. They didn't. The only guide they had was they didn't want to obey him. They didn't want to have any part of him, and they found excuse to turn from him. Well, his sons were not doing right, they said. Well, that's cutting your throat to spite your belly, as my dad used to say. Two wrongs don't make a right. What should they have done? They should have helped straighten out the boys, wouldn't you think? Become teachers, teach them diligently. Well, he said, since they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, when the psychiatrist studied this boy, when the FBI, when their top psychologists study the mind of this boy, they don't quite understand it. They say there's something hidden here that they can't put their finger on, but it's in every one of these people who turn, start thinking murder as this rebellion brings, and start carrying it out as Yahweh showed in Genesis 49 that the 12 tribes would do in this time period. They do it without conscience. There is no regret. They all follow this pattern. And they know that this is coming down through the genes, but they haven't put their finger on it. Now they're looking for a bad guy gene, which they may find it. They may find several genes that will indicate such. This would probably take them 1,000 years to another 1,000 years with the equipment they got, because they're using the physical computers. Whereas if they turned, repented, and got their subconscious mind, they would be able to figure it out here in just a few years, along with us. Well, anyway, I know you know what I mean. But the Yahweh gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do things which are not proper. Now, believe it or not, he's talking about people who kill people with guns, and they can't find the answer to it. Look back to verse 21 quickly. Verse 21, because that when they knew Yahweh, back then, Yahweh gave them his laws, statutes, and judgments, and in 1 Samuel 8, the leaders, almost all the leaders of Israel, rejected them and made an open show of it and said, we don't want this anymore in our lives. So they openly rejected it, as Yahweh knew they would and prophesied that they would. Moshe actually prophesied they'd do this. And then these 12 tribes would bring their genes altered and altered and re-altered down to us, altered by lust and teachings. Yes, that alters your genes. That's the way you can change your genes, by teaching, by studying, and of course by practice. Yahweh shows you that. You can turn all these bad guy genes that they're hunting for, you can turn them all around. Yahweh shows this in Scripture, and you're a fool if you don't believe it. But the first thing you have to do is repent, and then Yahweh will help you to be converted to this other way. We can do that. We're going to do that. With the peaceful solution, we're going to turn this thing around. That's the only answer there is. But because that when they knew Yahweh, they did not glorify him as Father, nor were they thankful, but became adulterous, God worshipers, in their reasoning, and their senseless minds were darkened. In 1 Samuel 8, 9, we won't read that, but because I won't have enough time to cover this whole thing. But in 1 Samuel 7, we see the God worship that is mentioned here. We see this, that it was actually brought out of Egypt. And, of course, they worshiped the pharaohs, the dead pharaohs. That's where the gods came from. They come from dead pharaohs, and they thought that they could pray to them and they'd answer their prayers. And they have. They've made them very rich, you know. Yahweh said he is the one that did that too. He said, you thought all the time it was the Queen of Heaven giving you all these blessings when it was actually me that was doing it. So they couldn't even get that right. There is no blessings, no true blessings outside of Yahweh himself. But in chapter 7, 1 Samuel 7 and 8, 1 Samuel 7, we see the practices of the Catholic Church today. We see Samuel telling him, put away these gods, put away these dead pharaohs, they can't help you. And later it was the dead rabbis they worshipped, and now it's the dead popes they're worshipping. But it's all the same system of worship. And today it's worse. If you think about killing, this is a horrible thing. And of course, this shooting all the children. Now, this was horrible. It was a bad thing. And it kind of got the attention of everyone. They forget about all the children that's dying because of the bombs that's being dropped and the people strapping on bombs and going into a crowd of people and exploding themselves, committing suicide to take some life. Well, this is more the reprobate minds that we're dealing with here, that Yahweh says this is what it's going to come to in the last days, in Genesis 49. But in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 9, Yahweh says, this has been going on since I brought them out of the land of Egypt. So let them go ahead and have their way, but warn them what is going to take place, of course. But don't try to turn them. Let them go their own way, and which he did. He said nothing would be held back from them. Now, these people who had Yahweh back then was Samuel. Samuel was a great man. He was overwhelmed with rebellion. He couldn't cover this area fast enough. There wasn't a teacher like in every corner, like Yahweh says it's going to be last. You know how that's going to be? Yahweh says there's going to be one behind you every minute saying, and he's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, this is the way, walk you in it. That's going to take a lot of priests, a lot of teachers, but it's going to be done. Well, 2 Kefa now talks of this very thing. Remember what he said here in Romans and what we saw in Deuteronomy. They didn't do it. Let's turn over to 2 Kefa 2. And he said, since they didn't want this, Yahweh gave them up to play out this reprobate mind and said, this is the way it will be in the last days. In the last days. His plan lasts up until the last days. And of course, nothing interferes with that plan. And you can see this all the way down through history. Now, he also had a plan to bring forth Yahshua, and it's fully prophesied. In fact, Yahweh will have no work unless it's prophesied. And Yahshua was prophesied, so is the servant of Yahweh in the last days. Many, many prophecies written about that person. In 2 Kefa now, here's the people that rejected Yahweh. They were of these 12 tribes and come down. Their children and children and children came down and still was following this rebellious system that we see on the seven hills of Rome today. Look at verse 14 now. Having eyes full of adultery, what do you see in the world today? It's on television daily. It's on the internet, they tell me. I don't go on the internet. Others do research, but I'm being told that that it pops up everywhere. And so you have to watch and go on and on and on to get your research done. Having eyes full of adultery, and who cannot cease from sin. Well, that's the whole world today. They're saying society. We've got to give these children condoms because society is not going to change. Well, that's what it says right here. How did they know that it wouldn't? You see that? They cannot. They cannot cease from sin. Yahshua said the same thing in Matthew 7. He said, a righteous tree cannot bring evil fruit. None of you could go out teaching falsehood now with what you know. But he also said, an unrighteous tree cannot bring forth righteous fruit. They cannot cease from sin. They have got themselves to the point to where they can't cease. It's coming to them in every corner. Every minute of their day is planned for something that has sin enlisted in those plans. They're getting ready for something, and this guides them on, their lust guides them on to this certain thing. Like Christmas or the Christmas parties or the New Year's parties now coming up where more people lose their lives. But the New Year's parties, they're looking forward to these New Year's parties more even than they did the Christmas party. Looking forward to them, and the police make allowances for this drunkenness, these drunken parties that they will have and wind up in someone else's house and maybe get shot like you just saw. Well, this of course is multiplied in this time period. There is no righteousness in this world at all, period. It's just not here. And it's led here, it was all led here by this system of rebellion, rebelling against Yahweh's simple laws of peace and joy and love. Having eyes full of adultery, who cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, that's people, unstable people, having a mind expertly trained. Did you see that in the writings of this child? His mind was actually expertly trained in what this boy was doing. Where did he get this? They said some of it came from the internet. Some of it came from some kind of games. I don't know what they're speaking of there, but other people have told me that yes, they have it. And they even trained their soldier boys with it. Maybe we should get some documentaries on that, Stefania. Expertly trained in covetous practices, cursed children. Do you see that? Man, oh man, get that. Cursed children. You have cursed your children. With the actions, your society, this so-called society that cannot change, that won't change, and they say to one another, no, I'm not going to change. They can live with it. Get their own life. Well, you ruin it for them. That's what you did. You ruin it for your children. Your children are cursed because of these sins, because you have rejected the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Cursed children. It couldn't be any plainer. Look at verse 15 of that same chapter. Verse 15. Who have forsaken the right way, gone astray. They knew it. They had the laws of Yahweh and left it. Following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of sin and unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, well, he loved breaking Yahweh's laws. Righteousness is keeping Yahweh's laws. If you look to the Savior's writings, when they asked him about, you know, anything about getting to Yahweh, he would say this same thing in Matthew 6 and 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh is his work. It's called the house of Yahweh. And it's put on by the one sent, the one Yahweh sends in prophecy, just like Joshua and his 12. And in the last days, he has prophesied one to be sent. That's the servant of Yahweh that the scholars, these are expert scholars, by the way, in Greek and Hebrew and so forth, but they need to find out one thing. They need to get this in their mind. The prophecy was sealed. It was sealed till how long? Till the last days. To where it would be revealed to the one called the servant of Yahweh. Now, if you can get that in your minds, the scholars, you great scholars out there, I will help you with it. Call me. I'll be glad to help you and send you the truth where you can know who Yahweh sent. We'll get to that soon. Seek Yahweh and His righteousness first, and all these other things will be added unto you. If you will seek that, what you threw away back here, if you will seek that, then all of these things will be added to you then, slowly, but they will be added, including peace and joy and love, true love. Seek first, but they had turned from this, see, and forsaken it. So Yahweh or Yahshua says to them, these are the scholars in Jerusalem here he's talking to. He's talking to the priest and telling them to seek it, you know, as if they hadn't been seeking this. Well, they hadn't. They had already turned from it to their rebellious way. And you know what they had in mind? Murder. The same as this boy had in mind. That's what brought forth the Crusades. That's what the Apostle Shaul was on when he went out arresting, getting orders from the high priest. The same gene that you're hunting for, it was in the priest's brains back then. And they sent their roving armies out to get these people that were trying to live by Yahweh's laws, because they had forsaken them and they didn't want anyone following them. They didn't want anyone coming to Jerusalem and saying, it's not right that you have your brother's wife. It's not right. It's not peaceful. It's not healthy. Dying, you will die. All of these things went with those words that Yochanan brought to the king in Jerusalem at that time and to the high priest. And they were very thankful for it. You remember how they thanked him? They killed him. They cut off his head. They did the same thing to Yahshua. They didn't cut off his head, but they murdered him. Well, of course, this Revelation 12:9 now saying for the last days, he said, all the world is deceived. Talking about the deception of leaving Yahweh's laws. You had it, but you didn't want to retain it, so it's gone from you now. So now all the world, he says, the whole world. That's what he said. The whole world is deceived. So in this whole deceived world, Yahweh prophesied a servant and said he will build a house of Yahweh. He will establish the house of Yahweh. Those are prophecies for that servant to do. And that's what we have. The righteousness of Yahweh. What is the righteousness of Yahweh? Well, if you only know the New Testament, go to 1 John. 1 John, if you got a King James Version, go to 1 John 3:4, which says, sin is the breaking of the law. 1 John 3:7 says, let no man deceive you. Who is deceived? Those who let them deceive you into thinking you can practice evil and you don't have to practice the laws of righteousness. That's the whole world. That's what Yochanan wrote down, coming straight from Yahshua, who got it from Yahweh himself. And Yochanan wrote it for us to show us what would take place, what was going to take place in the last day. Deceive. Your mind, that's your mind. Reprobate minds that have turned down through the centuries, bred and rebred, and taught and retaught till they're expertly trained for murder. Well, it was so in Jerusalem, but it's worse now. It was so back in the days of Yahshua and his 12 disciples, and he says to them, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Seek it first. Well, where is it? It's in the one sent. And he says to the woman at the well, you're speaking to him right now. The one this prophet was speaking of, he said, that's me. She believed it. Her name was Nora. Praise Yahweh. Well, he says in 1 John 3, 7 and 8, that no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices sin belongs to Satan the devil. Then verse 10 says this distinguishes the house of Yahweh from the people of Satan. Well, of course, the whole world right now is practicing breaking Yahweh's laws. That's what they call society today. And then they have these people that want to solve the problem, let society stay like it is, but put up some kind of a shield to where the curse can't get through. That's what they're hoping to find. That's what drugs are. That's what they do. In Deuteronomy, let's go back to Deuteronomy again, chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Please don't go to sleep. This, the best part's here yet to come. 28 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 29. It says in verse 28 that Yahweh will afflict you. He didn't. This is written wrong to try to make out like that Yahweh is doing this to these people. When actual fact, Yahweh is saying, if you do this, you're going to bring this curse on yourself. If you jump out of the top of this tree, gravity is going to suck you to the ground. If you jump off of this building, gravity will suck you to the ground and you will die. If you break this law of eating what you're not supposed to eat or practicing what you're not supposed to practice, dying, you will die. A little at a time till you get to the point in Revelations where you have a reprobate mind that you can't control, and all you can think about is getting a gun and going and killing a bunch of people. And that will solve the problem. That's what's in the minds right now. But I'm trying to get you to understand it was to the point in Yeshua's time. The apostle Shaul was one of them. And they set it in his mind to where this was right to him at that time. Yeshua changed his mind, and he can do it with everyone that he wants to. But he said he only takes who Yahweh sends him. But he says many are called, but even then few are chosen. So many are being called right now, and you could be chosen if you wanted to. And you can repent, and Yahweh will take this murderous mind away from you and give you a new heart, he says, and a new mind of righteousness. Well, verse 29, he says, in verse 28, Yahweh will afflict you. He doesn't do that. He said, you will be afflicted. You will bring this on yourself. You will afflict yourself with blindness and confusion of mind. Now, verse 29, you will grope at noonday. That is, you know, you're confused, so you're hunting for an answer. Well, what do we do to stop these school shooting? Well, let's get some more guns. No, let's take the guns away. No, that's impossible. You know, so you're groping for an answer. You see what he's talking about there? Apply this to what is going on in today's world. What do we do with Iran? Well, let's wipe them out. Well, the other nations said, no, you can't do that. So we'll do this to them. No, you can't do that. This will bring on this. So they're groping for answers there. They're groping for answers all over the world at this time. Just as a blind man gropes in the darkness, you will not be successful in any of your ways. Do you see that? You're not going to be successful, Yahweh says, in your ways. Everything you do is going to backfire on you. I want to read you a little of this from articles here. Scientists closer to finding autism cause with help of $1 billion. I don't know how many billion they've spent right now, and they're stumbling all over the cause of autism, but they can't find it. They just can't find it. You see that? It's like a blind man groping in the dark. The effort has been infused with new urgency in light of a recent government report that found autism was more common than once thought, affecting children, one out of 88 children. It says if autism's causes remain a mystery, you're not going to be able to stop this increase. It's going to keep multiplying, as it has already. Now, the answer is not where they're trying to find it in a drug. That won't stop autism. It's like giving somebody a gun won't stop school shootings. But they're groping in the dark. They're not successful with anything they're doing. That's what Yahweh says. I got more. The world has given me plenty of ammunition here. Groping in the dark. For I got to go over just a little bit today. Praise God. I'm glad you agree. Guess what kills one person every 19 minutes? Prescription drugs. The doctor gave a prescription drug and it killed him. Prescription drugs killed 62 times more likely to kill. Prescription drugs, 62,000 times more likely to kill. Prescription drugs kill 62,000% more Americans. Prescription drugs kill 300% more Americans than legal drugs. Prescription drugs are now killing more people than traffic accidents. Is that groping in the dark or not? Nothing they do is successful. Prescription drug deaths skyrocket. Prescription drugs kill one person every 19 minutes. Prescription drugs now kill more people than Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined. And if you write this down and read it later, Revelations 9, verse 20 and 21 says, even after a third of the people are killed over a fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates, they still won't repent. They still won't repent, even after that. Even though the answer is here, and they're saying they're looking for it, I know there's no money in repentance and conversion to Yahweh's laws. But you could save your children. You could take this curse off of your children and your children's children if you'll turn now. Philadelphia to install free condom dispensers in high schools. Now, this is supposed to solve their problem. Why would they get to this point of desperation to start putting these machines in the schools? And they say they want them in schools of at least down to 11 years old. And the others are saying, no, I think you should go at least 7 years old. It's bad. Citing epidemic of STDs among teens, it says Philadelphia is installing the condom dispensers in high schools, where students as young as 14 will be able to receive them free in an effort to combat the epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases. Like groping in the dark? Is that what you would call it? Can you call it anything else? We're desperate. We've got to do something. Give the man a gun. Tell him where to take aim. Students returning to school from Christmas break will find clear plastic dispensers filled with condoms in the offices of the nurses whose schools have the highest rates of sexually transmitted diseases. We believe distributing condoms is part of our obligation to keep students healthy. to keep them healthy? Their minds are reprobate already. Your minds are reprobate already for wanting to take this route. It's worthless and you know it. And your children keep going downhill. Of the 130,000 students who have received testing in the last 5 years, some 6,500, or 5% of them, have tested positive for the diseases including HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. In August, despite outrage from some parents, the school board in Springfield, Massachusetts, approved a plan to distribute condoms to public high schools as well as middle schools, providing free contraception to students as young as 11 years. Read that scripture again. In this time period, you're going to be groping in the dark. Study finds that 1 out of 4 U.S. teens has STDs. 1 out of 4. That would be 1, 2, 3 in just one row of seats right here in the public high schools. 3 out of that many people right there. Now think of what is going on in the world. So they put these machines in the schools to encourage more of it. And they know they won't even prevent it even if they use them. And this is brought out by Dr. Lorraine, I think her name was. Let's see. And then we have this disease called Asperger's, which they think this is what caused the boy to kill all 27 people in Connecticut, is not normally diagnosed until age 4 or 6. It's not diagnosed until ages 4 to 6. Now, this means our children are being born with this. Surely any scientist would know this. I think sometimes that our scientists are working for organizations who don't want. They're not hunting a cure. They're hunting a drug to hide symptoms and, of course, fool the people. But I don't think there's any drugs out there that will cure. The scripture shows in Revelations 9 and verse 21, it shows that dispensing drugs that will help but also harm, that they use to help. It doesn't say it will help, but they use it to help, but it also harms, and said they still won't repent of this. It's not helping any to take it, but you're making them money every time you use it. Well, this is what they're hunting for, and the government gives them grants to do so. Asperger's is the fastest growing development disability in terms of prevalence, with more people being diagnosed now with Asperger disorder or high functioning autism than ever before. Now, our scientists are supposed to be at their peak right now. They're supposed to be really smart. After all, they cured the common cold, didn't they? Way back somewhere. They cured... they didn't? Oh, I thought... Well, maybe they're not so smart. Well, they cured syphilis, Well, no, I forgot about that. It's getting worse now than ever before. Well, what was it they cured? They must be groping in the dark or something here. I can't find anything they've cured. There is no known cause for Asperger's. No known cause. Well, it's a reprobate mind. Yahweh said we would have it in this time period. Not only that, he says it'll cause school shootings. That's what Yahweh said. He didn't just snap. Now, we know this. People with this disease, or whatever caused this boy to kill 27 people, his mind didn't just snap. And this is what the FBI, the psychiatrists know, that this was a plan, this was coolly planned. They thought this out carefully. And every one of these cases, the FBI knows this. They have files on this thing. The lawyers who defend the boys who kill their parents or kill other children, every one of them say, in studying these cases, the mind doesn't snap. This person has to be fully alert and trained in this. Trained in this, what he's going to do, and then he expertly carries it out. And they tell, there's gobs of pages written on this already, how that this boy actually, with his mind, he avoided certain things that would have trapped him. He carefully avoided them, thought it out so carefully that he was able to pull this off and do exactly what he wanted to do before he killed himself. That was also in this boy's deranged mind. He didn't just snap. This takes a lot of planning, said Mary Ellen O'Toole, who worked for 15 years in the FBI's Behavioral Analyst Unit, where she studied psychopaths. O'Toole said people with Asperger's, which is a neurological disorder, aren't known to commit such violence, and that too much is being made about Lanza's mental health. It's time we stop putting out the mental health issue as an excuse that he didn't know what he was doing. So they know it's not a mental health issue. The ones that study this the most know this, but they don't know what it is. They know it's not certain things, but they don't know what it is or what you can do for it. So here, the teachers now, they're saying, well, we need to arm the teachers. The teachers are saying, we're sitting ducks. Give us guns. The others are saying, if we give them guns, those guns can be stolen. The person could take the teacher's gun. They could overpower, the students could actually overpower the teachers, they're saying. This is a crazy idea, the people are saying. It's a terrible idea, said Carol Lee, a chief lawyer of the Utah Office of Education. It's a horrible, terrible, no good, rotten idea, she said. Groping in the dark for an answer and not being able to find it. I've got just a little more, and then we'll get through here. Notice, let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. You're already there. Deuteronomy 28, notice verse 22 now. Verse 22. He says, Yahweh will strike you with the consumption, with a fever. It's what George Bush is suffering with now. George Bush Sr. With an inflammation, with a scorching heat, with the sword, that's war. With blasting, that's the nuclear war that he's predicting here, because he goes ahead and gives you the fallout color there in verse 24. Now, he's told you you're going to have a bomb here in this time period. You're actually going to have a bomb that the dust from that bomb called fallout, we call it fallout, is going to come down upon you and destroy you. Now, how did he know that we were going to have this? Can't you see the wisdom of this person that inspired these scriptures? Look at it, you scientists, you scholars, and see this. Surely you can see this. Matthew 24 spoke of this. That was the Savior of this nuclear bomb and saying it would darken the sun. Revelation 9 spoke of it and shows the colors that make up the nuclear explosion. The three colors that make it up. How can you deny such wisdom as this? Surely you could see that it would take the wisdom that you can't even imagine to calculate this thing and tell you in a certain time period that mankind, through his reprobate mind, is going to have this. And he says, well, I'm building this gun for peace. I'm building this cannon for peace. And the enemy says, yeah, I'm building a bigger one over here for peace. I'm building a bigger bomb over here for peace. And Yahweh says, you idiots, you're going to destroy each other. You're going to darken the sun. You're going to ruin the earth. Your children have reprobate minds already. And the ones that are pulling the trigger on these nuclear bombs and guns, yes, their minds are reprobate. They're groping in the dark for answers. How do we stop it? Look at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 27. Yahweh will afflict you with the disease of Egypt. Diseases of Egypt, that will come first. Tumors, the festering sores, the itch from which you cannot be healed. Did you hear that? From which you cannot be healed? Well, they're hunting for a drug that will heal it, but it can't be healed. Have they proved Yahweh wrong? Nope, not at all. Yahweh will afflict you with madness. This madness, there's a lot in that word right there that you boys could study out if you wanted to use your Strong's Concordance and so forth. The word madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. Here we go with the confusion of mind again. Confusion of mind. Let's go over now to, let's see, that was 28, 29. Let's go over to Romans again. Romans 1. Romans 1. And notice verse 28 here also. Romans 1 and verse 28. Now here's the apostle. They got a direct calling from Yeshua himself, turned him around, gave him a perfect mind to work with. And here he's saying in chapter 1, this book that is written to the seven hills of Rome, to the Romans, the roving army that captured all of Yahweh's people and tried to kill them, took the Bibles out, their manuscripts out of their hands. He was one of them, and then Yahweh took the reprobate mind away from him and gave him a mind of love and kindness and mercy and peace. He says in verse 28, as he writes this letter to the Romans, and so, since they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over to reprobate minds, to do those things which are not proper. Now, do you get that? And you comply to this boy that killed 27 people. Not only him, the murders are going on all over the world right now. Do those things with this reprobate mind that are not proper. Well, what is he talking about? Being filled first with unrighteousness. That's not keeping the laws of Yahweh. 1 John, or 1 Yochanan, if you have a book of Yahweh, 1 John 3, 4, 7, and 8. Righteousness is keeping the law. Sin is unrighteousness, breaking the law. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual impurity. Being filled with sexual impurity. What would you call that? Sexual impurity? Now get it. Sexual impurity. What is it? It's STDs. being filled, your mind being filled with STDs. The same as the universe is filled with STDs. The same as the firmament is filled with STDs. And now they're finally seeing that there's viruses in our firmament. Everybody, get that. Sexual, see, being filled. That's your first two words there. Being filled with sexual impurities. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Oh, do you see that next word? Look at that. How about that? Your mind is filled with STDs, so it's also filled with the performance of murder. I had a woman say to me one time, if I had a gun, I'd shoot you. I'd kill you, is what she said. Well, you think of how many people have been in that fix before where they hated someone enough, if they had a gun, they would have killed them. Their minds is filled. The same person had cervical cancer and was operated on. Cervical cancer caused, this causes what caused the woman to have it. Every hospital knows it's multiple lovers. That causes cervical cancer. What does it cause to the mind? He says your mind is filled with sexual impurities, STDs, which causes the capability of committing murder. Strife, it's all over the world. We just saw it here in Abilene. It's all over the United States. It's all over the world at this time. The whole world is deceived. How? They had the laws of Yahweh taken away from them. Deceit. Deceit. See that? The very next word. And malice. I wonder what malice could be. Let me read you what malice can be. Now listen closely, because this tells you what caused this boy to kill 27 people. He thought it out carefully, and he performed the job to perfection. Malice. Desire to cause pain. It's a desire caused by sexual impurities in your reprobate minds. The desire, it actually has a desire. If I had a gun, I'd kill you. This is a sexually impurity in your brain that causes this. Injury or distress to another. Intent to commit. Now here's your planning. You think Yahweh doesn't know what he's talking about? The scientists know this was planned. It was calculated. It was performed to perfection. Intent. Intent. That's what this word that Yahweh used right here means. Intent to commit an unlawful act or cause harm without lethal justification or excuse. Could it say it any better than that? We're living in a confused world. It's totally deceived, as Yahweh says. There is a way out. There is a cure. Yes, we have cures for all diseases. And I don't mean drugs or supplements. I mean total cures for the total body, the total mind. Just as the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Shaul, was just as this was removed from his mind by Yahweh, he can do it from anyone who will repent and be converted. The world won't do that right now. And I'm telling you, they won't. But before this great tribulation is over that we're experiencing right now and seeing it and witnessing it. That's our job, to witness this thing take place and to see that Yahweh prophesied it before it ever took place. And to see that we could have turned this a long time ago. We could have turned this 20 years ago if the world had listened to the first warning that the house of Yahweh put out. And we told them what it was going to be like back then, 20 years ago. Well, now their scientists is saying that what we said is actually true now. And they've discovered it in the firmament. Praise Yahweh. Well, before this tribulation is over, yes, there will be 2 billion people that will turn to Yahweh and Yahshua. They will repent and they will help the house of Yahweh then from their own lead this world into righteousness and a healthy mind and body. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next lady. I love you!